Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So we are going to talk about being protected online, and there has been this cybersecurity public awareness survey. It was released in August this year, but the survey, of course, is dated 2019, right? And it found that 68% of victims of cyber incidents in Singapore indicated that they changed their passwords once they realized their account has been breached. But is it enough?
Well, the password is both the cornerstone and the Achilles heel of security, isn't it? How often do you switch out yours without being prompted?
I never switch unless I'm being prompted. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Okay. You've got to go and sort that out immediately.
I'm going to change all my passwords now. Bad guys, don't you try.
Right. Well, while he's doing that, I can tell you some other interesting facts about this. The average employee has 191 passwords, which is totally unsustainable. According to the Verizon, DBIR passwords are also easily compromised, as 81% of breaches involve stolen or weak credentials.
Not only that, okay, passwords have hidden costs. Organizations actually spend millions of dollars and help desk hours a year on password resets. So the cost, you know, isn't simply from the breach. It's more than that.
Yep. Technologies such as Touch ID, Face ID, Windows Hello, and browsers such as Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and Edge have begun to form the foundation for a passwordless future.
Okay, so I'm thinking with everything that we've just talked about, right? The problem with passwords is evident, but where can we possibly go from here? I mean, is it even possible to have a passwordless world? Access your device by breath. That's my idea. Kerry Singleton, Managing Director, Cybersecurity Sales, Asia Pacific, Japan, and China at Cisco, on the line with us. Good morning, Kerry. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm sure you think my password by breath idea is really stupid, but wow, I mean, 1,001 passwords in our lives. I mean, what's the most common mistakes that people make when it comes to choosing a password?
I mean, I think all of us are guilty of it at times, but the problem with passwords is the complexity, right? It's a trade-off between using something that's complex so nobody can guess it, plus also using something that perhaps is familiar to us because it's easy to remember. And the easier it is to remember, the easier it is to potentially breach. But then the more complex it is, the more challenges you have actually recalling it when you need to access your resources.
This reminds me of when my children say, "Mama, where's that little trinket I asked you to put away safely?" And I say, "Well, you know what, darling? I put it somewhere so safe, I've forgotten where it is." That is my relationship with some passwords, which is I made it so safe, I've forgotten what it is. How often should we switch out passwords?
I mean, just on that as well, you see some crazy things online where corporate people are actually writing down their username, password, putting it on a post-it note next to the monitor, and then taking a picture and putting it on social media. So I think we're all guilty of that. No. But changing passwords, I mean, generally inside the corporate world, every 3 or every 6 months, we're forced by policy to have to go out and change the password. But back to your point earlier on, in real life, some of us haven't touched or changed our passwords since we originally set up, but really, we should also be changing them on a fairly regular basis. Myself, I'm personally guilty of it as well, as far as my personal online presence goes. But, you know, in the corporate world, I do change it on a regular basis.
I have a lot of these multi-factor authentication, which actually that kind of makes me feel safe, right? Each time I log in, there's something that comes in to confirm that it's me. I mean, is that how much does that really help?
Yeah, it helps a lot, right? With, you know, the recent pandemic and many of us being forced to work remote or work from home, we've had to go down that path. So before, the multi-factor authentication was us actually walking into the office being greeted by our employees. So that was a form of authentication because they saw us, they trusted us. And then we would access the network via username and password. But now when we can't see people, it's difficult to put that trust in place. So multi-factor authentication in the corporate world, and it's starting to cross over into the personal world, has become more part of life.
So, Kerry, according to the Verizon DBIR, passwords are also easily compromised. 81% of breaches involve stolen or weak credentials. Can you walk us through some of the ways that these are stolen? I mean, you said sometimes we are just completely negligent, but there are some very clever ways that, you know, we can be taken advantage of too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just give you a really simple technique that some of the attackers use. They could use a dictionary attack. So what they do is they will download a dictionary and they will do an attack using that dictionary against a particular website, and it'll run through a series of and combinations of passwords. So if you're using a really simple password that's a word or a combination of a word and maybe 123, which a lot of people use, potentially that can quite easily be breached because it can run through that sort of attack vector and come back over a period of time to the attacker with your actual password. So that's probably the simplest type of attack that could take place.
But it really, you know, it really blows my mind, this, Kerry, that the cost when it comes to passwords is more than just dealing with a breach of security. I mean, you're talking help desk hours, helping to reset passwords and whatnot. What are the hidden costs are we not seeing?
Yeah, so there's a few hidden costs, right?
Okay.
Many customers would outsource their support or their help desk, so they'll be billed or charged per case, per ticket they open up. Depending on the type of ticket, they may get charged incrementally more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the things that you also lose out on, like myself, over my career, I must admit, I have had a couple of occasions where my password's expired. Maybe I've been off sick or maybe I've been on holiday.
Sure.
Anything could have happened, but there's also incremental costs around productivity. So when I return to work, it may take me, you know, an hour, 2-3 hours to actually get my password back. Or my manager may be in a different location, so I need to go through an authentication process. Where my manager today, for example, sits in the UK, he needs to wake up and approve that request. Mm. So, you know, that's a good example of productivity loss as well.
I see.
Yeah, when I didn't reset my password in time, I had Elliot to help me, which was really nice.
Excellent.
Somehow.
Somehow he helped. But that, you know, that cost us time, production time, you know. So I completely understand what you're saying. Okay, so here's the bit I'm really excited about. Let's talk about a passwordless future. What does that actually look like?
Well, you know, I think, Elliot, you mentioned something interesting at the beginning, multi-factor authentication, right? But that's actually going to stay because you got your password, and now you've got a second thing, which is maybe a smartphone device, which is having a token pushed to it.
Yes.
But the reality is, you know, that's part of the journey. It's not the destination. And a lot of these applications which are doing MFA are actually moving down a direction of actually reducing the need for a password in total. So a lot of these products that are out there on the market, in the future, for example, you may connect to a website, click a button, but it'll actually push some sort of token to your phone, and you hit a little green tick box, and that'll give you access to the website. So you don't actually need to use a username and password. The authentication is happening via some sort of push or a phone call or a message with a PIN code to your phone, as an example.
This could be linked to SingPass. For example, if you go on a CPF website and you want to get all the documents out, they want your SingPass, but what you can do is actually scan the QR code and then everything just is linked together because it's such a common database, and then they authenticate and you get all your information. Is this something that could work? It's going to have to link to a common database, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the actual piece of software that you're running on your phone or your smartphone device, that it needs to be connected back in and needs to be connected into that database to allow that type of access. So SingPass is a perfect example of somewhere where that could potentially be done.
But look, Kerry, we've been using passwords for, what, 60-plus years? For as long as all of this tech has been around. And I remember some years ago, I think it was about 10 years ago in the UK, when PIN numbers increased, like the number of numbers you had to remember when you were checking out at the cash register.
Yeah.
And there was this big national joke about, how am I going to remember these numbers? So I mean, the point is, it's just how do you shift hearts and minds? How do you get people to embrace an idea where they're not using a password? Because they might feel like, look, I've lost a little bit of control. I feel less secure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was also in the UK when we went from 4 digits to 6 digits, so I remember that very fondly. But how many of us have 7 or 8 cards, and we're using the exact same PIN number on every single one of those cards, right? But you know, if there weren't, you know, bad people out there, if there weren't cyber threats or attackers out there, we wouldn't really be having this conversation. It wouldn't be such a problem. But the reality is that is the case. And the problem is, it goes back to that 191 passwords you spoke about before, and many people are using the same password. Or alternatively, you know, you'll connect to your online banking. They'll have a set of rules around your password and complexity, but then you'll connect to your online email, and they'll have a different set of rules around username and passwords. And the reality is, you'll end up having potentially tens or 20 different passwords that you're using across those 191 passwords. So There's a combination of things. There's the attackers, there's the complexity of remembering so many passwords, there's the different policies that come from all the different things that you sign up to that make your life even more difficult around passwords. Do you write them down? Do you put them into your smartphone? Do you put them into some sort of online safe? It's just really the complexity and the difficulty that's sort of driving us down this direction to a passwordless future.
Yeah, just thinking about complexity. So this is a true story. This happened to me a couple of months ago. I needed to get into a bank account, which I don't have here in Singapore. It's somewhere else. And I won't say which bank, but basically my token that I used to get into that account online, the battery ran out. And in order to get a new token assigned, they had to make sure that all of my details in the file were correct. Anyway, they weren't. 3 months later, I still don't have a new token, and we're still doing paperwork. So it's really complex. On the one hand, I think as a consumer, okay, I'm all right with this because I know it's so secure, even I can't get into it. But on the other hand, it's very frustrating. How do you resolve those problems?
I mean, I had the exact same problem where I've lived in a few different countries, and one of the countries I was in, the actual token had the same problem. The LCD display was actually broken in my laptop bag, and I was told I had to physically go into the branch, which was in another continent, another country, to pick up a new one. It was an international bank, but fortunately they managed to ship it internally to a branch in Singapore, but it was a real headache for a period of time. But, you know, unfortunately, that the old way of doing it, right, the token-based way, and you've seen a lot of banks went, you know, probably 10, 15, 15, 20 years ago were purely username and password, and it was quite a simple password. And then we started to see breaches. And then we went down the token path where they send out something like these little tokens with numbers that would be randomly generated that allowed us access. But we're actually seeing banks move away from that. A lot of the Singapore banks now have an application on your phone where it actually sends a push to the phone when you're accessing the website, which then grants you and allows you access. So moving in that direction takes away a lot of those problems and a lot of those challenges, but then introduces new problems and new challenges. And, that, and again, like I said, that's part of the journey, not the destination, is actually going down that path and then potentially allowing us in the future to move completely away from passwords.
Actually, Kerry, just hearing your story, I think it's probably the same international bank. But anyway, Elliot, so
Kerry, to wrap up, could you tell us a little bit about adopting a zero-trust approach to cybersecurity? I mean, how is this helpful for businesses, and how does it exactly work?
Yeah, so we sort of have that policy internally where I work today at Cisco around zero trust. So I'll just give you an example.
Sure.
If you're connecting back into your corporate network, so into your physical network via some sort of virtual private network, you would go through, you wouldn't be trusted. You would actually have to connect in through username and password to get in, and then you'd have to go through multi-factor authentication to connect into that network. So it's about establishing that trust barrier to allow you to get into the network. But then in certain situations, you may connect directly to the cloud. So you may have services like, I don't know, Dropbox or Evernote, or you may be connecting to the Apple Store or Samsung Store or other places like that. But you're not going into your corporate network. You're going directly to something that's delivered in the cloud. Again, when you go into those parts of the network and authenticate, you should actually not be allowed straight in, but you should have to go through a authentication process. So it's really about trust and establishing trust when you connect to resources based on whether they're back in your corporate network or whether they're directly into the cloud.
Right.
So I know that Cisco's been working with customers to help them better outline a passwordless roadmap. And I'm really curious about this. What sorts of requests have you been seeing from customers when it comes to the idea of going passwordless?
Yeah, so it is a conversation that's coming up a lot more. Actually, quite a few of the customers which are sort of speaking about it, the financial services sector seems to be quite active, and some parts of the government sector are quite active around this piece as well. But it's it goes back to what you're talking about earlier on. It's a lot of those organisations which have online presence have multiple username and passwords, where the consumer's having to remember those because they also are getting bogged down by people phoning up saying, I need a new token, I need a new password, I can't access the website. So they also incur costs, you incur costs as well. So a lot of those companies are looking at the actual cost of doing business and the cost of supporting issues around passwords, and that's actually pushing them down that path. And also, you know, a lot of those companies also have issues around cyber and around bad actors accessing their systems. So that's also pushing them down this path as well.
We've been speaking with Kerry Singleton, who is Managing Director, Cybersecurity Sales, Asia Pacific, Japan and China at Cisco. Kerry, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.